Welcome to Food for Thought. I am Dee Anderson.
Hey, Dee Anderson. I'm Laura Mangone.
Hey, hey.
So refreshing to hear your name. I know. I say it every week.
My real name. I've only been doing my real name for the past couple of weeks, but...
So it's so funny that you texted me today about what you thought we wanted to talk about.
Well, at least a segment.
Yeah, a segment or two.
How about we tease that segment and then maybe talk about something else first? But we are going to be eventually, whether it's this segment or next, we're going to be talking about pasta.
Yes, ma'am.
Now,
incidentally, we both had pasta on our mind today.
We did, and it's not a food that I eat a lot. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite food. Mm-hmm. I grew up with it. Mm-hmm. And I realized this past weekend that I'm still learning about it.
Okay.
And there are little nuances in terms of preparation. I came across two sort of unusual recipes that I'd never heard of before just today.
Okay.
And I thought, well, it's maybe time to revisit the whole pasta. If you're to Google pasta, mm-hmm. you know, the best pasta, you know, the most popular pasta sauces, you're going to mm-hmm. come up with, you know, probably a list of a dozen
right
standards. But this, you know, what I wanted to talk about was also about preparation. You have a lot more experience with cooking, making real homemade pasta.
Fresh pasta, which I did today. Yeah.
Right. But do we want to just touch on the state of the country?
We could do that. Very interesting that our president has been, for the second time, impeached. And we have the Senate vote. I think they're going to do it on the 19th is when they present it to the Senate. So it may actually be on Inauguration Day. They're going to be voting on it.
Well, how do you feel about that?
I feel fine about it. I am happy that this is the conclusion that was... they came to. I think he did incite the riots, but I have had, you know, I think there were lots of other situations where he's been abusing his power. And, I hope it comes to pass, if for the only reason that he will not be able to run again or hold any sort of federal office in the future. I think we've had enough of him.
Right. Nor will he be able to maintain any of the post-presidency perks that you get with the the money and the travel expenses and the security detail and all that stuff.
I think it speaks volumes that on the day of the, when the riot occurred, on the day when the House was voting on finalizing the vote, he incited, he said, we're marching to the Capitol and you can't be quiet and it's got to be with force. And it's, you know, he incited blatantly. Blatantly, they were his supporters. I've heard, you know, we talked about this last week, that there's so many of his supporters that think that, you know, they were not real Trump supporters. They were Antifa. They were, you know, whatever. And never said boo when the tragedy was ensuing. Never called out the National Guard, which I now understand is his responsibility. That's one of the reasons why they weren't called out immediately. He didn't give the order.
Okay, here's clarification. The National Guard was called. Remember a month or two ago when he fired a bunch of people in the Pentagon?
Yeah.
And everyone wondered. I remember outwardly wondering at the time, what on earth could that be for?
Well, yeah, that's part of bringing out the National Guard. But at the end of the day, he had them on standby, but he never sent them in. He never gave the order for them to go in when the shit was hitting the fan. Right. And, you know, when yesterday, after the impeachment vote goes through, he never addressed that he was at fault. And even in his speech, where he's now saying, you know, my supporters would never do this, and my supporters would never do this, and my supporters should not resort to, you know, it's almost like he basically led all of his supporters to do something. And then in the final hour, he's making it like, you know, wiping his hands of it, like it's not his doing. I mean, if I were a Trump supporter, I would be fucking pissed right now because, dude, you told us to do this, and now you're saying, oh, you know, don't do anything. You never incited it. You don't believe that it was, you know, what was supposed to be done. He's talking out of both sides of his face, and it's. Hey, I haven't liked the man since the 80s, so I am completely biased, but I do believe that he cannot be trusted. I think he lies, and I don't think he's the person that should have his finger on the, you know, the button.
Right.
So if this is going to prevent him from holding office in the future, just that alone, I don't care about the perks. I don't care about the security detail, just the mere fact that, and granted, that is one huge benefit. I mean, New York State right now is pulling out of anything Trump related. So it is hitting him in the pocketbook. They're saying, you know, like billions of dollars he's losing out on, which, you know what? Good. You got enough money.
Well, maybe not for long.
Go do something good with your money.
Maybe not for long. I mean, Deutsche Bank is now getting rid of his loans.
So they'll be $340 million.
Right. They'll be given to another bank. And if he doesn't start to pay, then they will start going after his assets, which
he's gonna be in big trouble.
Now, what do you think about the Congresswoman, her first name is Mikey, but her last name escapes me, who witnessed, you didn't see these videos?
I saw some.
Okay, let's back it up a little bit. January 5th, the day before they went into the Capitol.
Right.
She was at the Capitol, and now tours have not been allowed since COVID.
Right.
So there's not these sort of blocks of people traipsing through the Capitol. There's just not. So anyone you see walking through the Capitol is there on official business.
Right.
She took note of the fact that a bunch of people who maybe even kind of looked a certain way were going through with this congresswoman. I believe she's a congresswoman, but Boebert.
So this is the reconnaissance?
Yeah.
They thought they were in there doing reconnaissance?
Yeah, because when this first was told, I thought, how could she remember, you know, the faces of people? And then as she clarified it, well, of course, that's how she remembered, because, you know, there weren't a lot of people going through the Capitol.
Right.
So, and then there was a picture taken of this Congresswoman Boebert, the one who brought the people in, with a picture of her on the steps with people who were arrested on, you know, January.
Yeah, there's a lot of involvement there. I mean,
what do you think about the fact that Boebert has been refusing to go through the metal detectors, and some people think that she's stockpiling weapons in her office?
That's frightening. I think there are many, many aspects of this that are frightening. It's frightening that some of the guards were obviously, you know, in cahoots, and just, you know, some of the tape is showing them just opening the doors, letting people in, not putting up a resistance, not, you know, guarding our Capitol. So yeah, no, there's many, many aspects of this that are horrific. And I hope that a lot of these people, you know, I hope that every person that's guilty comes to trial, you know, is faced with.
Did you hear about the guy, you know, the guy who had the big horns coming out of his head?
Yeah.
Did you hear his mother talking to the media?
Yeah. Crazy. That
he gets sick to his stomach if he doesn't have organic food.
Organic food. And they're now serving him organic food in jail.
No shit.
Yes. No, they are. He is being served an organic diet. Correct.
What?
Yes. Because he was on a starvation diet. He was not eating anything and they were feared Aww. That he was going to die. So he's now has organic food being delivered to him in jail. I know. It's freaking crazy.
Talk about white privilege. Anyway.
I know we've both said this numerous times. Can you only imagine if this was a women's group or a Muslim group or a black group or a gay group or any other group? There would have been, you know, machine guns would have been out.
Well, my prediction out of all of those groups that you just mentioned, the Muslims and the blacks would all be dead.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if it were women, it would be different. They actually probably would have treated them a little more lightly.
I don't know.
Gays, I don't know. And I don't think they right. would. But Muslims and blacks, man. They
well, it is very
dead.
Scary. And, you know, now Minnesota, Michigan, Pennsylvania, you know, all those swing states that were are now on the list of places that, you know, on Inauguration Day, they have tracked down people that are, you know, were planning. I think they've tracked most of them down. But, you know, this stuff may happen on Inauguration Day. I'm quite frankly glad that I don't live, you know, in Center City in Philadelphia.
But Laura, they were saying that all the FBI has been saying that all 50 states have threats.
All 50 states have threats, but those five, there are five states where they've already confiscated people with, you know, well laid out, like year long, well laid out plans to right. attack their state capitals. So
that was the first thing when it happened on the 6th, that was one of the first things I started to say to Don was, you know, what if this starts happening on a local level?
Yeah, exactly.
What if people organize enough where it starts happening on a local level?
Yes.
That's what freaks me out, not these.
Extremely scary, you know, extremely scary. And right now there are more, George Stephanopoulos said it this morning, there are more military in Washington, D.C. on guard, sleeping, you know, in shifts. They showed them this morning, you know, while they were
on the floor,
changing shifts on the floor, taking naps with their machine guns nearby. There are more people guarding Washington, D.C. on this day than are in Afghanistan. He named like three foreign places where military or have a presence right now. And there's more in Washington at this very moment. That's like crazy, crazy.
Crazy shit.
Crazy shit. So we, you know, it remains to be seen. We have another week. Let's see what happens.
Well, I don't know if you saw it on Facebook, but it was a really funny meme shared on Facebook where it was a cartoon mm-hmm. of Godzilla.
Uh-huh.
And Godzilla is, you know, taller than all the buildings in the city. And right. a lot of the building tops are all on fire.
Right.
You know, because Godzilla is breathing fire and it's going everywhere. And there are people in the cartoon standing on the rooftop of a building. And somebody says, great news. He's only going to be here another week.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like, yeah, what could he possibly do? Well,
you know what? He is the person that has his finger on the button. And he is the person, you know, during his term, it was, I don't remember the correct terminology, but in the past, it wasn't only the president who had the say-so if he wanted to declare war on someone. It had to be approved by other bodies of government. Mm-hmm. That was voted out. So at this very moment, he has the ultimate power to push a button. I mean, that's frightening, especially because he's, you know, unhinged. He's off of all his social media, so he has no way to outlet it. One of the news reporters this morning said that all of her contacts at the Washington, at the White House are like scurrying in the halls. Nobody wants to be near him because he's like having a meltdown. So,
well, I have decided that I no longer, because I don't consider this faction of the Republican Party, I don't consider them Republicans.
No, I
consider a real Republican or one of the 10 who stood up and voted for impeachment. Those are real Republicans. Now, I wish they'd done it sooner, but we can't, we can't go backwards. I wish they'd done it sooner, but they didn't. And they at least did it yesterday.
Right.
Now,
I would think any American, Republican or, you know, it's country before party, you know?
Well, finally, they decided.
Right.
But I am no longer going to tolerate the demonizing of parties. Okay, so if I have one of my liberal friends say, you know, the effing Republicans, don't use that word.
No.
Don't use that word
in a
derogatory way. It's not fair. Their party was stolen from them. And if you demonize Democrats, even by calling them, even by calling them Dems at this point, when you say Dems, it's derogatory.
I agree.
Don't make me feel like I'm morally bereft or I'm stupid or I'm part of the conspiracy. I will take umbrage to that, just like I will take umbrage to anyone who accuses a Republican of being of a certain ilk. I'm not tolerating
it. I agree. On that note, we are
going to
be back. We'll be back with Pasta Talk.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
And we're back.
We're back.
Okay, let's talk pasta.
Pasta.
So I know you, for Don, you did 3 different types of pasta. Let's hear all about it.
Yeah, so I did. I was really trying to. I have a significant other who really has a hard time saying what he wants. So I begged him to please tell me, if he had his druthers, what would his birthday meal be? Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't know. I guess it would be pasta. And I said, okay, let's try to narrow it down. Which one? And he couldn't. You know, it's like, he said, oh, whichever one is easiest. And I said, you know, don't do that. Just right. If you had your druthers, what would it be? Mm-hmm. He said, I don't know. I guess it would be fettuccine Alfredo, chicken parm with pasta, and linguine with clam sauce. But I can't decide. So I made each one.
I know. I think
and
that's
that was
wonderful.
My big surprise. So what I learned, or sometimes, you know, when you don't make certain things often, as for example, I've made linguine with clam sauce hundreds of times, but fettuccine Alfredo was never on my menu. Oh. I must have made it before when I was much younger.
Right.
But I was reminded that an authentic fettuccine Alfredo actually does not have cream in it.
Yeah, just and eggs, cheese. Yep.
No eggs.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
I checked a bunch of recipes. And apparently the authentic fettuccine Alfredo, and I was looking for the eggs, Laura. That's what I remembered. I remembered
eggs. That's authentic to me. That's how I've had it in Italy. And
me too. I'm telling you, I Googled it, and I was looking for egg yolks, and I was looking for cream, and I was imagining this sort of hot pasta and then tossing it in the egg yolks at the end.
Well, not, I wouldn't use yolks. I would use whole egg. I do use
whatever.
Whole eggs.
Uh-huh. Whatever. But I assume there'd be some egg product in it or
right.
cream. I wasn't really, I couldn't really remember.
Uh-huh.
The more I looked it up, I was trying to find a recipe with eggs in it.
Really?
And I couldn't find it because I thought it would be so much better with eggs.
So how'd you end up making it?
I just did the butter and the Parmesan and garlic, and I'll tell you what, it was just tight. I think that the
so it was basically just
butter and cheese and garlic, and you're supposed to sort of form this emulsification. So it's not, you know, it's supposed to emulsify the butter and
right.
the Parmesan. You're supposed to whisk it in such a way that it doesn't clump together and it sort of becomes emulsified. And that's what gives it the creaminess, is the emulsification, not the cream, no eggs. And I was a little disappointed because we were eating it and I thought, wow, here I am splurging.
Huh.
All of these calories.
Are you sure you weren't looking up carbonara?
No.
Well, I've just looked up four and they all have cream or eggs. All four that just came up on the first thing.
On Alfredo?
Yeah. Every single one that I just pulled up is basically the way I would make it. Eggs, cheese, pasta, butter. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to do another Google search.
So it ended up delicious, right?
That's all right.
Okay.
I
know a carbonara... you'd have ham or, you know, a pancetta or something like that in it.
Right.
And that wouldn't have egg and that wouldn't have cream.
Right.
Huh.
But this is where, you know, you're bringing up a good point. I think we are such, and I've said this before with recipes,
uh-huh.
we are such a slave to Google.
I'm sure I can remember when I was a kid, I would get the Ronzoni fettuccine and use the recipe on the side of the box, which was my dad's favorite. And it was same. It was eggs, cheese, whipped
cream.
Together, like emulsified,
water. Yep. I bought the heavy cream because
cream.
I thought you just said that they would have it would have eggs and cream.
No, eggs and cheese. No cream.
Eggs and cheese. Okay.
Eggs and cheese. And the pasta water.
For whatever reason, when I Google searched it, it did not come up with eggs. It was just, and it was one recipe after, well, not one after the other. I could not find a recipe that had eggs in it.
Huh.
And I know I typed in Alfredo. It wasn't carbonara.
Right.
I remember specifically these recipes touting the fact that a lot of people don't realize, but a real Alfredo is just an emulsion with.
Well, it is an emulsion, absolutely. But so, and your other one. So, what were the other ones you made? You made clam sauce.
Chicken parm.
Mm-hmm.
chicken parm, which I served with the rest of the fettuccine.
Nice.
I had plenty of that.
Breaded or not breaded?
Breaded. I did. I haven't. It's so funny. I haven't made chicken parmesan in so long. I was debating whether to pound the chicken breasts, and I just thought, you know what? No, I'm not gonna. I'm just gonna cut it thin.
Right.
And a little egg and panko. That's.
And did you fry it or bake it?
Oh, fried. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then linguine with clam sauce. So the point that I wanted to make with, you know, these little nuances of what you learn over time is that sometimes I've made linguine with clam sauce. I've had it since I was a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandfather, you know, I've watched my family members a million times. So we all know the rule about, and maybe you've done it this way all along. We all know the rule about adding the pasta, the starchy, salty pasta water to the sauce.
Always. Yeah.
Is that it's really imperative.
It's the emulsification. It's the storage that holds the sauce to the pasta, basically.
But I was watching a video with Mario Batali because I was just wanting to see I know how I make the sauce. I want to see how does everybody else make it?
Right.
So I watched a bunch of videos and Mario Batali was on and he was saying this, what's very important, not only to use the pasta water in your sauce before you add the pasta to it, but to take your pasta out of that boiling water when it's not just al dente.
No, way before al dente.
Undercooked.
Yeah.
And that it needs to cook in that sauce for about 2 to 3 minutes.
Yep.
I've never done that. I've always done 30 seconds. I've never done
that. I grew up doing that. Yeah. We always had it, you know, take the pasta out, put it in the sauce, let it cook in there while you're mashing it around. Usually putting lots of cheese in with it too.
I just think it's a step, in terms of the length of time, it's a step that maybe I was taught it at some point. And I just decided, oh, it doesn't need that long. And I was reminded that you really need to finish that pasta cooking in the sauce.
Because it's absorbing the sauce. So it's really going to flavor, you know.
With whatever.
Nothing worse than naked pasta. Like, if I am absolutely horrified if I ever see pasta that has like a glob of sauce on it. And it's not every single strand of pasta should be covered in and has absorbed sauce.
Right.
You know, those old pictures of bowls of pasta with or a plate with sauce on the top. It's disgusting to me.
Right.
Totally.
So anyway, it was a good reminder.
So was he thrilled? I'm sure.
Of course he was. Yeah. Great. It was great.
Beautiful.
And I ate, more than 500 calories that day for the first time in months.
That's okay. Our body can process things like that.
Yeah.
That's all right.
So you had a great pasta day today.
I had a great pasta day today. So my mother-in-law is up in years. Actually, her birthday is next week. And she is suffering from a little bit of dementia. For the most part, she's spot on. She's 90% most of the time. Occasionally she has a little blip here and there, but my father-in-law has basically not left her side for probably going on a year now. You know, they're spending every day together. He's not getting a break when he needs a break. So, I had a couple of things on my list that I wanted to do for Uncle Joe. Just again, I'm cooking food and portioning things out, stocking my freezer so that when he's in need of food, I go in and deliver it. And I know I gave him his last batches of lasagna that I had portioned out. So I knew I needed to make lasagna. And, I had Mario go over and get his mom and bring her over here. So she hung out with me today and I cooked and I made lasagna. At first I made fresh pasta and I did that before she got here. I now have her pasta board, which is, just such an honor that I now have her board. I had borrowed it around Christmas time when I was going to be making my grandmother's Christmas bread. And I always had my grandmother's board, but over the years, it's just sort of crumbled and fallen apart. It's basically, it was just a big piece of plywood that was, you know, sanded well on the sides, but it sort of got destroyed a couple of years ago and I made do with it and just was using one side of it. But this year I was like, you know what? I can't do it anymore. The board is done. So I asked my mother-in-law if I could borrow her pasta board, and both my father-in-law and mother-in-law were like, absolutely, take it, keep it. But I did check with my sister-in-law because, you know, as her daughter, she should have first right of refusal. If she, you know, if she wanted it, I would gladly give it up. But she didn't. So this morning I made a big giant batch of pasta, which I've talked with you before. I do it in the Cuisinart. For every cup of flour, I use one egg, one tablespoon of oil, one teaspoon of water, and some salt. That's the recipe. And if you're making, you know, 10 pounds, you do 10 cups, 10 eggs, 10 tablespoons, 10 teaspoons. So I made a big giant batch of pasta. And when she got here, I had just started rolling it out. And I was doing it by hand, but I did put it through the machine because it's just the uniformity of it. It's a little bit easier just to crank it through the machine. So I now have sheets.
Right.
And when I do the lasagna, I have nice size sheets, but I don't dry them, which, you know, fresh pasta, you can use it immediately or you can let it dry. When my mom always made pasta, or my grandmother, especially if we were making what we would call tagliatelles, which are basically like a fettuccine, we would let it dry before we cooked it, but you can cook it fresh. A couple of hours, you know, when we would do it on a bed, you know, we would put it on a bed with a sheet over the bed. Sometimes, when I used to do it, I'd have a couple of brooms, like perched up on a chair, and I'd put it, hang it over the broom handles and then toss it around periodically so it would dry. But you can also just use it fresh. So I was rolling out sheets and I had it here with cornmeal between the layers so that it wouldn't stick together. And I had a big pot of water on the stove and I basically just threw the sheets in and let them come to the boil literally for like a minute. And then I took them out again and put them on some towels. So just to get it started a bit before I put it in the lasagna. And I made a regular lasagna that I always do. I have ground, you know, I have a layer of ground beef. I have ricotta. I have mozzarella. I have Parmesan. I have my sauce. So made a big giant thing of lasagna. Then I made a smaller one to give to my in-laws. So they're having that for dinner tonight. And then I had quite a bit of pasta left over. So I made cannelloni, which I hadn't made in a really long time. Again, I dipped the pasta sheets and I had cut them smaller at this point. I was working with smaller sheets because I didn't need them to be in the big giant pan of lasagna. So I did squares that were maybe 8 inches and each section was maybe 6 or 7 inches wide. So it was like a rectangle and I, you know, threw them in the water for a minute, took them out, had them on, I had towels like all over my counters today with the pasta sheets. And I had a bunch of spinach. I just sauteed an onion, put some garlic in it, chopped up some spinach, threw that in, let it cool, mixed it with ricotta, which I had left over from the lasagna. I had some mozzarella, threw that in, and a couple of eggs and salt and pepper, and I made that mixture. And then I used a plastic bag because I don't have any pastry bags at home, or I've got to bring some home. And I just used a plastic bag to sort of pipe it and roll it and put it in a dish. And I made a quick bechamel. But then when the bechamel was done, I put a couple of spoonfuls. I still had marinara, so I put a couple of spoonfuls of marinara in it, so it was sort of like a creamy marinara. Mm-hmm. Put that on it, and that's what we're having for dinner tonight. I also made another dish for Uncle Joe, so I'll cook those, and then I'll portion them out so he'll have them in his little bag portions.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was really good. It was a fun pasta day, and it was great because my father-in-law got a break for a few hours. I mean, she was here probably for 2 or 3 hours. So it was nice.
And she did well with the whole process.
She was helping me. She was watching. We were talking, you know, we just chit-chatting away. So it was great. And, it was nice to have her here. Nice to give him a break.
Right.
And I got some cooking done. So it was good. It was a good day.
Nice. I have two. Well, we might run out of time, but it was brought to my attention today, by my nanny client, the woman's mother and husband sometimes come over to help with the children.
Right.
And the husband, Peter, I think he's Italian. He must be. We've been talking a few times and he seems to have an Italian background, but he brought up two sauces that I had never heard about.
All right.
And I kind of want to try them.
So we will talk about them when we come back. Sounds great.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for just $99. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-846-3464. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-846-3464. 800-846-3464. That's 800-846-3464.
Okay, we're back.
We're back.
So your clients, it's Pop, right? Is that what he's called?
Poppy.
Poppy?
Yeah. But before, I just thought of something during the break, and I'm just going to interject out of the blue a little bit of a vegan discovery that I made. So my client is she's not only vegan, but she's very heavily involved with the vegan movement, if you will, the organic movement. She works for a nonprofit, and they're very much involved with companies who are making these vegan products trying to get them, mainstreamed. And she told me today that there is now a classification of organic, not vegan, but organic, that is several steps above the organic seal. So, when you get something that's certified organic.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that there's no pesticides.
No, it just means that they can go into the ground without doing much harm.
Right.
Right.
So there's now a classification or a stamp of approval that you can get that's several steps higher than that.
Okay.
Where they not only address first of all, no pesticides, but also how you can treat your soil so that the soil is actually ready and permeated with the right stuff,
right,
to be sort of fortified, you know, okay, for the next crop.
Okay.
And this movement is also concerned with the treatment of the, not only the any animal that's slaughtered, but also the employees, that they're getting a fair wage.
Oh,
so
good.
It takes everything from the pesticides to the treatment of the soil and how to really fortify your soil to have, uh-huh, you know, crop for the next year, the wages of the people who are working on this.
Sounds like all good stuff.
It's all good stuff. And she showed me, and I can't remember, of course, right the second, I thought of it about a minute ago, but there are now food products that have this stamp. Oh. And I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway.
Absolutely. Something we'll have to look for in the future.
Well, what I would like to do, and since I'm into this vegan thing, I would like to contact Ross from Sprig and Vine and New Hope.
Yeah.
I consider him, even though I'm not an aficionado with vegan cooking, I consider him a master vegan
Absolutely.
Chef.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And like, for example, he posted something the other day on Facebook where it was seitan miso sriracha glazed chicken wings.
Yum.
And I thought, and they look like little chicken wings, you know, like he shaped the seitan to look like a chicken wing. And I just think it's got to be great. I would love to get him. First of all, I would love to take classes with him.
Uh-huh.
But I can't afford to hire him one-on-one. I wonder if he would consider doing online vegan courses and we could help him promote.
Oh,
and even with my client, I could get her contacts to say, right, I've got a really fantastic vegan chef. So anyway, that's something that I'm thinking cool about doing.
That's cool.
But the two sauces that were brought to my attention today were so interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the one is you take olive oil, and apparently mm-hmm. at just like medium heat.
Right.
Take a bunch of fennel seeds.
Yeah.
And you cook the fennel seeds in the olive oil.
Uh-huh.
And then you add the garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add a bunch of tomato paste.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of caramelize the tomato paste. You just cook it low and slow. Let that tomato paste sort of caramelize.
Right.
And then when you're adding you add the pasta water, the salty, mm-hmm. starchy pasta water,
mm-hmm.
actually thins it to the point that it's of a, you know,
sauce, a nice consistency
sauce, and you put your pasta in. I want to try that.
That sounds delicious, and it sounds very similar to, there's a dish that has fennel, but it also has anchovy and tomato paste, and I think caramelized onions, that was in the New York Times not that long ago, but it's very similar. You roast your fennel. It then had anchovies and the tomato paste. No, I'm sorry. You sauteed onions. Then you put fennel in it and let it cook a bit, like bring out the flavor of the fennel, tomato paste, and anchovy. And same thing, pasta water to sort of hydrate it.
Right.
Interesting. That sounds good. I would love that just with the fennel.
And another one that seems so basic, I've just never, in all of my years of growing up in an Italian family with an Italian grandfather, mm-hmm. he said that it's basically olive oil, ricotta,
mm-hmm.
and garlic. So you saute the garlic first in the olive oil. Mm-hmm. Then you add the ricotta and the pasta water, and that is what you would swirl around the pasta in and finish cooking the pasta in. So it's just ricotta, olive oil.
Sounds really good.
Yeah.
Never heard of that one, but it's funny you're mentioning this because I have a little bit of ricotta left over. So what my mom would do when she had, I mean, we didn't really have, unless she was making manigot or, you know, cannelloni or something where the ricotta was an ingredient. We didn't really have ricotta in the house, but if she had it left over from making one of those dishes or lasagna or whatever, or stuffed shells, She would make pasta and put just a little bit of marinara, but a lot of ricotta.
Right.
So that creaminess is so delicious. That sounds delicious. It's just the garlic, ricotta, and the pasta water?
Yum. Yeah. And olive oil.
Yum. That sounds great.
Yum, right. Yeah.
So where is he from? What do you know, what part of Italy?
I don't know. We've just met them. I've met them several times because they come to my client's house, but we went there for Christmas Day. And the more he was talking about pasta and stuff, I sort of just surmised that he must be Italian. And
so I'm going to take a guess. You're going to have to find out where he's from and what town, and are these family recipes. I'm going to go out on a limb and take a guess that he's from somewhere in northern Italy.
Maybe,
because of the creaminess of everything.
Right.
Generally creamier, heavier, or colder climates. That's my guess. You know, like my grandmother's pesto that has the cream cheese in it. You know, it's super creamy. It's not a light, quick, you know, hot weather dish.
Right.
Interesting. That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Pasta, pasta, pasta. Making me really happy.
I think I'm all out of pasta.
I'm glad I'm going to be having cannelloni tonight.
Yeah.
I'm in the mood for it now.
Your cannelloni is right around the corner for you.
I know. It's actually in the oven at the moment. So what else?
Tortellini.
That sounds good.
Tortellini. I'm sure you've made your own tortellini.
Actually, I just did that for Uncle Joe the other day. Tortellini. I didn't make the tortellini. I use, there's a brand that we get from our purveyor. That's really chock full of cheese, chock full of spinach. It's a good, I don't even know what the brand is. It's like a no name tortellini. And it's good. And I make for Uncle Joe, I make two different types. I generally make it with a bolognese sauce, some of them with bolognese sauce, and some of the packets that I make him, like I said, I probably talked about it last week, I make with my grandmother's pesto.
Right.
Really the only way I like, I don't even like tortellini if it's just a plain marinara. I like a heartier, heavier sauce with it. Like a bolognese or something that's got some oomph to it. Which,
and why do you think that is?
I don't know. I guess because that's what I grew up with. Because whenever we had tortellini, it always had my grandmother's pesto on it, or cavatelli. Always was my grandmother's pesto. Like, we would never have the pesto with, well, I shouldn't say never, but rarely had it with a, you know, macaroni or a long pasta. Generally just had it with the small, I don't know.
There was a piece done on one of the, you know, Sunday news shows, like the Today Show, not the Today Show, the Sunday morning news show. And there was, they were featuring Italian chefs in Italy who they treat their tortellini like it's a god, you know, it's like the way, the method that they do it. And it's this one recipe. And apparently this is like the to die for thing is really like tortellini in broth.
Oh yeah, tortellini in brodo.
In brodo, and
absolutely.
And it's all about the broth.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, they didn't give a lot of details in terms of what that broth would be. Now, to me, what I have started to do for myself for chicken stock, I have not made a real chicken stock. When you talk about doing the
bones and roasting
and all that stuff, I just take a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in water with salt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Italians will call brodo. It's a purest form of chicken broth.
Well, usually it does have vegetables in it, though. It's strained out. I mean, it's not visible, but when it's cooking, there's vegetables in it.
Like a true brodo?
A brodo, yeah. It has vegetables cooked in it, in the broth.
Okay, well, what I'm saying, the recipe that I was reading, it was so purist that there were no vegetables introduced to the broth. So it's just the chicken.
Right.
And this particular segment where they were featuring these Italian chefs, it was like this broth is what was the crux of the recipe. And it was very pure. So I thought it would be worth looking into. And I did buy some tortellini. I've never made my own tortellini. I guess I should try.
It's fun. It's fun. It's, you know, you get into a rhythm with the folding, the wrapping, you know, it's fun. It's like when you're making wontons or anything that you have to twist and pinch and shoot across the table with your thumb. Right. I can remember making cavatelli with my grandmother, which she would call gnocchi, but it wasn't made with a potato starch. It wasn't made with a potato in the pasta, but it was just a cavatelli. So it was literally a teeny weeny little circle, and we would take our thumb. We would have all the circles laid out on her board, and you take your thumb and you just sort of rolled it in your thumb and basically shot it across the table.
Right.
And we would sit on two sides of the table and shoot them all towards one end of the board. And then we'd go down at the other end and move them all down. It was like we were playing knock hockey, you know, like we were shooting them.
But there's something about cavatelli. I mean, it's just with all of these different pastas, the different shapes, it's almost like the ratio of and the shape of the pasta and the ratio of pasta to sauce, it just gives you a different experience. There's something
Absolutely.
About cavatelli.
It's like it's like having rigatoni because the hole in the center is big enough that the sauce goes inside.
Right.
Like, you know, I feel like a rigatoni needs bolognese, needs something with, you know, eggplant or something that's hearty, so that it does get in there. And the same thing with cavatelli. Like, I don't think there's anything better than picking up a piece of cavatelli and there's like the little scoop now has, which is like an orchetti, has a little indentation enough for a little piece of whatever the sauce is to be inside it.
Right.
Yeah. Total. And, you know, I think that's an art, you know, I don't think everybody knows that there's a certain, well, just how we were saying how some people have, you know, naked pasta. You know, some people just don't know. There's an appropriate ratio for a sauce, and it depends on what type of sauce it is.
Well, and we were talking about during the break that, and I've mentioned it before, how Google sometimes does us a disservice. You looked up chicken cacciatore, for example, and you found tons of images where there was just a pile of sauce on top of naked pasta.
Exactly.
So how many people out there think that that's okay?
I think if you are serving your pasta naked with just a little bit of sauce on top of it, in my mind, that is just pasta with ketchup on it. Like it's not real. It's not.
Right.
It's not. No, it's not appropriate at all.
Right.
It's like, I mean, I can't even liken it to something else. I was going to say it's like, you know, a hamburger without a bun or a hot dog without a roll or a.
It's just wrong.
It's just wrong. It's like a slice of apple pie without a crust.
Right.
Maybe that's a good analogy. Yeah, it's just wrong. Anyway, my friend, we are running out of time. Where did the time go? All this pasta talk. So we have next week, we're going to look forward to the inauguration. Hopefully a safe and
seamless
for everyone transition of power.
Right.
I saw something on Facebook or Instagram, I can't remember where, that said that, you know, all of you Trump supporters need to do what was suggested to all of us Clinton supporters 4 years ago, which is, this is what happened. This is the way the vote went.
Get over it.
Get over it. Just deal with it. So that is my recommendation. You know what? The people have spoken, and we're supposed all be on board.
I ran across an article, which I didn't actually have time to read, and I know we're running out of time, but it was talking about really how QAnon has ruined the Republican Party. with their conspiracy theories. A lot of that stuff, even if people don't think they follow QAnon, they don't even realize
a lot of it has trickled down
to their belief system.
Yeah, where it's coming from.
They don't associate themselves with that group. But guess what? You have. It has permeated your psyche and you don't even know it.
And like everyone, we should all be looking at different news sources. Don't just stick to, you know, what you think is the word. All right, my friend.
All right.
Well, see you next time.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for